Conkey, proprietor of the corner shop, and her sister Vera, who runs the local telephone exchange, were shocked to learn that their cousin Betty McCutcheon, Sister Gabriel, had left her order of nuns to become a producer of religious programs on radio. In order to show their silent disapproval, they stay away from her broadcast at Reverend Hawthorne's church. Muriel, who believes she had an understanding with widower Fonsy Doherty, is further dismayed by his apparent interest in cousin Betty. Betty, for her part, has already sown the seeds of reconciliation between schoolteacher Vivian Bowle and Reverend Hawthorne, and her radio programme has created an unusual spirit of understanding amongst the community, except perhaps in the McConkey household. Ballylennon, 1955.
Ballylennon call office, number please.
Hello, Miss McConkey, is your sister in?
Well, she is, but I don't want to disturb her. She's not feeling too well this morning.
Oh, is it the yellow jaundice? There's a lot of that going around.
I hope not. Just a touch of neuralgia, I think, from the sudden change in the weather.
Do you know what she should do for that? She should tie her head in an old red duster and keep sucking cloves for the heat, you see.
I'll pass that on, Mr. Bonner.
Well, you might have the information I'm looking for, Miss McConkey. Was the Development Association connected with the programme on the wireless last night?
What programme would that be, Mr. Bonner?
Ach, you know, the thing from Reverend Hawthorne's church.
We don't have much time to listen to the wireless, but I think I know what you mean. It's most unlikely the Development Association would have anything to do with it.
I hear it was a great success. The Sageyard Gallagher surpassed himself in some song or other about Lamb. He could be getting into the record business after it, so he could.
What a pity I didn't hear him.
And would you be able to tell me how I could get in touch with the producer? Somebody was saying she was a relative of yours.
So she is, but she's gone to Dublin on her way back to London, I suppose.
I wonder now, would she have taken a lift with Mr. Doherty? He went to Dublin this morning, I hear.
Oh, did he? No, I wouldn't know. Sorry, I can't be of assistance, Mr. Bonner. Goodbye now.
Cheers, Miss McConkey. Don't forget the red duster and the clothes.
Would I ever? Muriel, are you awake?
I get up soon. Are there any customers in the...
There was. Look, I'll come up to you. Someone looking for a drench for a bullock with hoose. I asked him, could he not read the sign over the door?
Oh.
That was wee Stumpy on the phone. Wouldn't you wear a cardigan sitting up on the bed?
Yeah, I'll be getting up. I took a beach and...
He's after telling me Betty's gone off to Dublin with guess who?
Vivian Bowe.
Oh, far worse. Mind you, he wasn't certain. But he thought she took a lift from Fonsy Doherty.
Vera, do you think it's gone as far as that?
No, I don't know. We shouldn't have gone to bed before she came back from the church.
What was it she said in the note?
Just thanks for the hospitality, and she'd be writing. She said she wouldn't wake us in the morning, and she didn't.
Oh, I suppose they all went up to Fonsy's lounge after the broadcast. If we'd been there, it mightn't have happened.
What?
Her getting off with him?
That might be reading too much into it.
But he deceived us already, promising not to take part in the broadcast. And then we switch on the wireless and there he is, sitting in the church.
I wonder would Vivian Bowle know where she is?
Oh, we couldn't ask. That would bring suspicion on us. And if there's one thing I hate, it's suspicion.
Good
afternoon,
Miss Bowle.
Is school out already?
Oh, yes, it's 4 o'clock. I was just wondering if you'd seen Paddy McGoldrick anywhere.
Not since he called in a couple of days ago to be paid for the painting he did in the cloakroom. Is there something...
Well, the judging of the tidy villages is next week, and we desperately need someone to go round and remind householders to be sure their frontages are neat and no litter lying around. May I use your phone?
Just step into the vestibule.
Did you get any reaction to the Bulwarks of Faith programme?
Oh, yes. A lot of the parents said it was most impressive, especially your address.
Of course, when describing our neighbourhood, I had the guidance of your little book.
I never thought, when I was writing it, that it would be quoted on the BBC. Hello?
Number, please?
Ballylennon 2, please. And Gord Gallagher was asked for his autograph twice. Hello?
You're through caller.
Ballylennon Gardaí.
Oh, hello, Gard. Vivian Bowle here. I was wondering if you'd seen Packy McGoldrick.
No, I haven't, because he's gone off. Do you know, Miss Bowle, I'm being asked left, right and centre to repeat that song as sung on the wireless, not only in the floral concert, but at dinners and...
Yeah, very good, but how do you mean gone off?
His mother was only telling me that he's gone back to Birmingham.
What?
Says I, that's a peculiar time to be going with the Tidy Villages coming up and the publicity for the floral concert. And says she, oh, he had it planned this long time.
Well, really, I must say I'm very surprised. After all we did for him, and he was coming along so well.
Mr. Doherty was never very keen on the same Paddy, but... Right, I'd better be going. I'm still on the lookout for no rear lights and baldy tyres.
Thank you, Gard. Goodbye. Well, that's extraordinary. Paddy has gone to a job in Birmingham. I'll have to rethink all the arrangements.
Yes, very odd. Oh, and before you go, I got some very complimentary messages about the music for the broadcast.
Will I take my place with Sandy MacPherson at the mighty Compton organ?
Organ? Who knows? And since you allude to Mr. MacPherson, a very interesting communication from Scotland. Something which may come to something.
Oh.
Yes. But something I can't divulge at present. It could have long-reaching implications.
You've whetted my appetite, Mr. Hawthorne.
I assure you, you'll be the first to hear if it is something.
Ah, there you are, Stumpy.
Evening, Fonzie.
Come into the wee office. I have a word to say to you on the QT.
Aye.
Now, take a seat. Here, sit up on that. I'm only back from Dublin. You'll take it, bro.
I will lie.
Oh, to tell you the truth, Stumpy, I'm distracted.
Did you not get the meeting with Mr. Ford?
Huh?
John Ford, the movie mogul.
Oh, no, not that. No, I did meet a colleague of his, yes. He said the scheme was worth pursuing. No, no, it's another thing altogether. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's a thing... I want kept quiet.
Is that a fact?
Aye. And what I'm asking you is, if anyone comes to you about it, you can say you know nothing.
But I do know nothing. And now you're going to tell me something I don't know. And then I won't know nothing. So I won't.
The thing is, you'll hear rumors about it anyway, and the first person anyone will go to verify the story is you. Because in the natural course of your business, you're in the way of picking up all the stories. You see me now?
In a kind of a way. What's the story then?
Josie. Josie's after going off to England.
Is that a fact?
Oh, it is. But that word of warning. Left a letter for me on the buffet to say I was not to worry. That she has a job for herself in a catering establishment. And that she can stick it here no more. When you needn't know that part of it.
Where did you get that letter?
It was sitting there. When I came back from the broadcast on Sunday night. The only person I told was Betty McCutcheon, you know, the producer.
Josie's in London, so?
No, Birmingham. I gave Betty her address. Mind you now, Stumpy, tell nobody nothing. Especially Vera McConkie, because her phone's like an ass's ears. And Muriel, too, because I know she's got a bone to pick with me for going to that do in the church.
What you need is a good plate of gruel to put the life back into you, Muriel. It's not a thing I keep in the shop. There's no demand for it these times. I wonder, did Mr. Doherty get back from Dublin?
Don't be letting your mind dwell on him. It'll only give you palpitations.
The phone. You could take a plate of gruel for your tea.
Ballylennon call office?
This is a trunk call from Loch Winnoch. Could you connect me to Ballylennon 6, please?
Hold the line, caller.
Ballylennon 6, the man's here.
You're through, caller. Muriel! That was someone in Scotland looking for Reverend Hawthorne. I suppose he's famous now after that broadcast.
What were they looking for? Maybe I'll have a wee listen. Why not?
Exceptionally kind of you, sir. If you wish to travel to meet me, I'd be glad to take the train to Larne and we could have a cup of tea in the hotel beside the ferry.
That'll only be a formality, I'm sure. The Presbytery have studied your references, and I think I can safely say they're all in favor of supporting the call.
Call. I shall pray for illumination.
I suggest the fourth, but we can correspond.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye, Mr. Hawthorne.
What is anything, Vera?
I think so. It sounded like someone has offered a position. Number, please.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Will you get me Fonzie Doherty at the hotel, number 3, please?
Hold the line.
Did your sister try the red flannel and the clothes?
She did, of course. She's leaping around the place now like a sprig lamb. Mr. Bonner, before I put you through, I might have a nice wee story for you for the Vindicator.
What is it?
I have it that a certain person, now famed far and wide for sermons and the like, will be taking up a new position across the water.
Actually, the last time you gave me a tip-off about that individual, Miss McConkie, it backfired in my face, though it did. He didn't get to climb up into the pulpit in Newton Cunningham after me writing that he did. And the editor nearly gave me the cowboy.
That's the luck of the draw, Mr. Bonner. If you aren't in, you can't win. And I've more news for you if you want it. A certain young person has left for Birmingham in a hurry.
Male or female?
Oh, male. And connected with painting and other odd jobs. Hold on, I'll connect you.
Swilly arms.
Number 3, a call for you.
Thanks. Oh, Miss McConkie, before you put it through, is your sister there?
She is, but I don't think she's speaking to you. In fact, neither of us should be speaking to you.
I can explain that.
After you telling me you had no intention of attending that jamboree, what do we hear when we switch on the wireless but you being welcomed among the congregation?
You told me you'd sooner go deaf than switch on that program.
We were on the wrong station. We were trying to get benediction from Radio Aaron.
That's Fonzie.
Shh, I'll fix him.
Well, I hope she's not going to do what you said she might do.
What was that?
Resign. A secretary.
Oh, that I've no doubt she will. It was an act of disloyalty, she said. Especially the way you were sitting there in that church beside Terry White with his speech about time-honoured customs of Ballylennon. What does a blow-in like him know about the customs of Ballylennon?
You must have listened to a fair bit of the programme if you waited for Terry White.
We heard enough to know we were better not at it.
I'll take that call now, please, Miss McConkie.
The caller's hung up.
I'll be seeing you then, Miss McConkie.
What was that you said I'd do?
I said you'd resign as secretary.
Oh, but I'd never do that, dear.
No, but let him think so.
Did he mention Betty?
I didn't give him the chance.
I wanted you to make arrangements to meet again.
I doubt it. There was a hangdog sound to his voice. Mr. Doherty knows which side his bread is buttered.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bonner.
Great day, Your Reverence.
What may I do for you, Mr. Bonner?
I was wondering, could you give us an interview?
Oh, certainly. On what topic? The recent broadcast? It appears to have made quite a mark.
Ah, not at all. Your future plans.
Plans?
You know, personal plans.
Any personal plans which I might have, Mr. Bonner, are... personal?
Are you saying no comment?
Well, if you like.
So, if I was to say to you, is it a fact that you're moving to a position in Scotland, you'd say, no comment.
Comment. If you put it that way.
Sure, if I put it that way, they'd all take it that you are moving to a position in Scotland.
Scotland. I really can't say. I have to inform someone else before I can make a decision.
Have you indeed? I see.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Hawthorne! I just bought this copy of the Belfast Telegraph. The Weekly Churches column has a wonderful... Oh, hello, Mr. Bonner. I didn't see you behind the urn.
Hello, Miss Bowl.
Is anything the matter?
No. I have what I need now. I'll be going on now. Thanks.
We were just having a little chat.
I'll be seeing you, so. Thanks very much, Your Reverence. Good luck, Miss Bowl.
Did he say something?
Come inside, please. I don't know how he heard...
You're quite distraught.
We'll go into the study. It's most extraordinary.
Do take a seat.
He must have said something quite upsetting.
I didn't intend it to turn out this way. The fact is, I have a piece of news, and I wanted you to be the first to hear it.
And he already knew it.
I had planned to inform you under less trying conditions. The fact is, I have received the call from the Presbytery of Loch Winnock.
Oh, where's that?
It's in Ayrshire, I believe, near Kilmarnock.
Well, that's very nice. Congratulations.
They don't appear to have objections to a single incumbent, unlike Newton Cunningham.
They have their reasons, no doubt.
But I was thinking...
Yes?
I was thinking how much better, how much more appropriate it would be...
Yes?
If I were not single.
Oh, Mr. Hawthorne.
And I was wondering if you would give consideration to the following matter.
Samuel.
Miss Bull.
Vivian.
Vivian, will you share my life in Loch Winnock?
There's nothing about the tidy villages. Oh, yes. The floral concert, that's the name of it. Garda officer tipped as showstopper. Uriel, would you listen to this?
Okay.
Minister's new appointment. After a period of intense speculation, it can now be disclosed that the Reverend Samuel Hawthorne, who has been minister of First Ballylennon and Drumskittrick Presbyterian Church since June 1948, will be relinquishing his post in September to take up duty at Loch Winnock in Scotland. Members of his congregation have expressed great sadness at his impending sadness.
I wonder, did wee Stumpy Bonner write that?
You may be sure he did.
Now, where did he get his information? You weren't backward in, what is it they call it, leaking that one, Vera?
Oh, the leaking jug will be chiseled on my headstone, sure enough.
Stop! Oh, Vera, you put the heart across me.
Look at this. As sure as night follows day, isn't his resignation followed by her, wait for it, recent engagements, recent's the word, the engagement is announced between Vivian Mary, daughter of Dr. and Mrs. Bruce D. Bowle of Raffo, and the Reverend Samuel Fraser Hawthorne, younger son of the late Reverend and Mrs. J. Sharman Hawthorne, Ralph Ryland, County Down.
I don't believe it.
There you have it in black and white on the pages of the Donegal Vindicator, the truth in the news. Rid of them at last.
Don't speak too soon, dear. Remember what happened last time. Oh, I shouldn't be saying it, but I wonder if we've seen the last of Sister Gabriel. Cousin Betty, that is, as well.
Well, Mr. Doherty was the last to see her. He's probably the only one who can answer that.
Hello? Hello? Mr. Doherty? Is there anyone in?
What the heck? Oh, good morning, Miss Bowle.
Hello, Mr. Doherty. I was ringing the bell because there didn't seem to be anyone in charge of reception. Josie's
away on a visit. What can I get you?
It's just that the Tidy Villages and Gardens judge will be inspecting the town on Wednesday, and I was wondering if you'd mind removing the old motor tires from the triangular green out there.
Oh, everyone seems to be using that as a dump.
Thank you. And quite an amount of litter has been caught on your wire netting fence.
Now, the wind last week was fierce altogether.
Also, the new tiling on the facade of the hotel needs a good hosing down.
You're right. Yesterday was fair day. There was a lot of cattle around.
If Paddy McGoldrick were here, of course, he'd be looking after all this.
Where is he?
I believe he's taken up a job in Birmingham. Didn't you know?
Birmingham?
I know you warned me he was unreliable, but the fact is, the work he did getting the scheme established was exemplary.
Birmingham.
I'm just knocking on a few doors to remind householders of the judging.
Aye.
Oh, yes, and I had a very nice letter from Betty McCutcheon thanking me for my help on the broadcast. Reverend Hawthorne got one, too. I'm sure she wrote to you as well.
What's that? Oh, yes. She did. Oh, a very thoughtful lady.
Reverend Hawthorne and I are going to call on her when we pass through London.
Is that so? Sure, I was forgetting to congratulate you, Miss Bowle. I wish you every happiness.
You'll be leaving Ballylennon?
In a few months, I believe. It will be a great wrench.
It will, of course. I don't know how we'll manage without you in the Development Association. Indeed, I don't.
That can all be worked out in due course. Now, I must go and see that the flowering tubs and the quay have been watered. Goodbye for the present, Mr. Doherty.
Goodbye for good, I hope. Let's see. Boom!
Ballylennon call office?
Oh, hello, Miss McConkie. Is your sister there?
She was wondering why you were silent for so long. She's not very well, but she can come to the phone. Here's my sister now.
Hello, Fancy.
Good day, Muriel. I was just saying to your sister that the engagement, but more the departure of certain people, will make things a lot easier.
There are one or two things I need to talk about, Fancy.
That's why I was ringing you, Muriel. Perhaps you'd join me for a big slap-up meat tea with bread and butter on the works in Letterkenny.
Oh, Swilly Arms would do, Fancy. Couldn't Josie?
Josie's away on a visit.
To dine out in Letterkenny?
Aye. Will we say Wednesday? And I'll come for you in the motor car.
Oh, well, that's the day the town's being judged, and I still to put something into my window box.
It's as good a day as any.
But you'll be at the Flora concert the night before.
Aye. I'd better go to that.
She has a powerful pair of lungs, you have to give them that. And she's no doll on the piano.
Her wee hooves dancing over the keys.
He'd be in a right fix for a pianist when she's trotted off with her billy goat.
I thought the songs had to be floral.
He's so famous now, he can pick anything. Pick flowers.
And thought of the Lamb of God.
They prepared him to the Melchors. There's no accounting for taste nowadays, Stumpy.
It takes nothing out of them after a hard night summoning innocent people with no lights on their bikes.
But, Fonsy, you did say you wouldn't darken the door of that church.
How's the sweet you like enough?
Oh, it's delicious. Catch you, this big lump.
Will I ask him to change it to the coupe, Jake?
No, don't bother.
Well, it would have been like a terrible slap in the face if I'd refused the invitation to the service, especially when Canon Phil sent young Father O'Flatley to represent him.
Well, has she gone now?
Miss Paul?
No, she. My cousin. Sister Gabriel. Let down her vocation, bringing disgrace on her relations.
She's gone back to London.
Will you be seeing her again?
Why would I?
Well, people were talking.
Let them talk.
Well, I won't mention it again.
You know, your sister Vera gave me a queer basting on the phone. Huh? Accusing me of disloyalty. Well, who was being disloyal? Employing Packy McGoldrick as a painter when it was well known that he and me weren't speaking.
How did you know?
Wasn't Packy seen going in and out of your shop with brushes and cans a dozen times a day?
I didn't think you could see that far down the street.
No. But we Stumpy Barr did.
Well, we but couldn't get anyone else to paint the room in time for Betty's visitation.
Well, for reasons of protocol, I had to attend her ministration. Anyway, that's all in the past. I have a far bigger worry now. And Josie, I said she was away on a visit, but she's gone. Walked out.
Gone? Gone to where?
Oh, she has a job in a good cafe, but it's in Birmingham. And I happen to hear that another person, known to us all, has removed himself to the same destination. Your young friend, the painter and an odd job man.
Patty McGoldrick? Well, at least it'll be company for her from home.
Company? I'll give him company one of these days.
Ballylennon call office. Number, please.
Miss McConkie, Miss McConkie.
Yes? What is it?
Will you connect me to number 3, Mr. Doherty? No, perhaps you better not. I've news he won't like to hear.
Well, make up your mind. As a matter of fact, the party you're looking for is here, enjoying a wee cup of tea and a game of Beggar My Neighbour.
I have this release from the Tourism Committee with the results of the Tidy Villages and Gardens competition. It gives the marks in order.
And we didn't do too well.
Ballylennon Development Association, 24 marks out of 100.
Is it far down the list?
The bottom.
Ah.
And among the remarks it says, the committee deplores the new tiled frontage on the 19th century Swilly Arms Hotel, so it does.
Oh, don't you worry yourself, Mr. Bonner. I'll break the news, and I'm sure Mr. Doherty won't be long getting over it. Bye now. Muriel?
Yes, dear?
Pardon my breaking into the happy company.
That's right, but I'm here to tell you that the latest disaster to strike us is that we've come last in the tidy villages. And your premises, Mr. Doherty, has been castigated by some Johnny jump-up with no eye for modern-day smartness and hygiene.
Oh, no.
I had a notion that was coming. It's no shock to me.
Maybe if I'd put a pansy or two in the window box, we might have done better.
We're better off not doing so well. It'll mean that no one will be pushing us to enter next year, and we can concentrate our efforts on getting that courthouse knocked. And whatever we do, we are taking in no outside expertise. We'll stand by our own judgments for this out.
Right, but who would that be at this time of night?
Oh, Paige Sweeney, perhaps collected the crew of the ice. See who it is.
Oh, ask her how Father Free's getting on in St. Eunan's. I believe he can't even keep a bowl of soup down.
Oh, come in. I was just going to wet the tea.
It's too much trouble.
No, come on in. We have company already. Ah, here's Gard Gallagher. Come on in and sit down, Gard. Now, sit down. There you are.
I didn't mean to disturb you, but I have a terrible confession to make. If I don't, I'll not sleep tonight. I met Mr. Bonner, and he let slip that we came last in the tidy villages.
Aye, so we heard.
Well, I think I'm responsible.
What is that?
I was doing my duty noting unlicensed vehicles, and I happened to summons a man, a stranger, for a broken traffic indicator and no rear lights. It was only today I heard he was the adjudicator of the tidy villages, and I've no doubt in my mind that's why he became bottom of the list.
Well, you are doing your duty right, Gard.
In fact, you should keep up the good work.
Well, I did, Mr. Doherty.
What?
You know Malachy McGuigan, the scrap merchant from Stranorder?
I do.
Well, he gave me an authorization to remove that old abandoned car outside your hotel.
My new Morris 8.
It's been sitting there for weeks. But it wasn't till he dragged it away to his dump that Mr. Bonner said it was your car.
My new Morris 8. I got that chair for Josie to do the messages in and out of Letterkenny.
Oh, well, now, Mr. Doherty, it was unlicensed and had four flat tires.
What business is that of yours? Tell me, what kind of an authorization did Malachy McGuigan show you?
A telegram from an address in Birmingham. Authorize you remove Morris 8 for £5.
From Birmingham?
Aye.
What signature was on it?
P. McGoldrick, Esquire.
I think this is a matter for your superiors, Guard. To apply for an extradition warrant from the CID for a certain Mr. Esquire, who abducted my good name and my daughter.
Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna. Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker, and Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy. Vivian Bowe was Anya McCartney. Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley. Gard Gallagher, John Hewitt. And Reverend Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy. Music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Ballylennon is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.